Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Today, after over a year of debate, today, after all the votes have been tallied, health insurance reform becomes law in the United States of America. It's also a testament to the historic leadership and uncommon courage of the men and women of the United States Congress, who've taken their lumps during this difficult debate.
Yes, we did.
Well, that's the President of the United States this morning signing into law health care reform, attended by the Congress that helped him get there. It's right. It's been a long road. And there's a debate already about this deal struck between pro-life Democrats and President Obama on abortion and health care reform. Who compromised? Did both compromise? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, March the 23rd. We're coming to you live here in the first half hour. We'll get two different perspectives on the compromise, whatever it was, so that health care reform could go forward, especially with regard to abortion. Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life, will join us first, and then Marilyn Musgrave, Director of the Susan B. Anthony List Votes Have Consequences Project. Here in the first half hour of the program, trying to sort out what actually happened yesterday and this morning, and talking about that executive order that purports to limit federal funding for abortion in health care reform. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us in the second half hour of the program, teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the Lord's Supper. Then in the second hour of the program, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be with us to talk about the Bible, the Quran, and violence. Are these moral equivalents, the violence that we read about, in particular in the Old Testament, of the Bible, and the violence called for in the Quran? He'll answer that question for us. In the last half hour of the program, we continue our six-part series, part four on Reformation theology, with Dr. Gene Edward Veith today, The Spirituality of Ordinary Life. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Kristen Day is a regular guest. She's Executive Director of Democrats for Life, based in Washington, D.C. Kristen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today.
How do you interpret what happened yesterday, especially with regard to the six votes that swung pro-life Democrats for health care reform after the president promised an executive order to address the issues that they were so concerned about?
Yeah, I'm so proud of the pro-life Democrats for really standing firm on their beliefs. And, you know, all along, the pro-life Democrats wanted to support a health care reform bill, and they held firm until they could get to a point where they could. And the executive order and the, you know, that reinforces that no federal funds will be used for abortion was an important part of getting this bill passed.
How do you respond to those who are skeptical, first of all, that the president will even go through with his promise of an executive order, or that it will have the force that the president has promised pro-life Democrats it will have?
No, I mean, I trust that he will sign the executive order. I don't think he would publicly come out and say he was going to do it and put the text out there, and he may have already signed it. I don't know that. You know, the pro-life Democrats who are in these negotiations, you know, I trust their judgment and trust the conversations that they had that this will be enforced.
So did the president, in effect, capitulate to pro-life Democrats by agreeing to this executive order?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his goal all along was to have a health care reform bill that was consistent with the law of the land. And, you know, and pro-life Democrats were trying to ensure that that would happen. And I think he realized in the end that the only way he was going to get this bill done was to make sure that the Hyde was going to be upheld. And, you know, we see that the pro-choice groups all around are not very happy about this.
We're reading about that reaction of the pro-choice groups. Even yesterday, I shared some with our listeners. One group calling President Obama's promise to sign the executive order a betrayal of millions of women in America. But other than that, it's not getting a ton of coverage. You're not hearing a lot about NARAL, Pro-Choice America, now Planned Parenthood and the other pro-choice groups really angry with the president. What's going on here?
No, I think I've been reading a lot of stories, and they are quite upset with the executive order. I think the health care reform bill in itself is getting a lot of attention, and I think it will get lots of attention down the line.
What has them so upset with the president's executive order?
I think that it reinforces the law of the land, that Hyde is the law of the land, and I think one of the comments was that it cements this policy, you know, so that was upsetting to them. I think overall this is, you know, it cuts their stranglehold on the Democratic Party as well, because you have this strong, united group of pro-life Democrats who really stuck to it right till the end and were able to get this language that the pro-choice groups didn't want, and even the language in the Senate bill they are opposed to, saying that it puts a stigma on abortion. In my conversations with some of the choice crowd, you know, that's what they have. Why should abortion receive other treatment when it's a regular, you know, surgical procedure? And my response was because it's a life that we should not be taking, and so it's an important provision that that these pro-life Democrats got in.
Kristen, your reaction to Susan B. Anthony List President Marjorie Dannenfelser, she said, quote, "Let me be clear, any representative, including Representative Stupak, who votes for this health care bill can no longer call themselves pro-life." Your response?
Right. I think that's a big mistake. And, you know, I'm going to read a quote from Pat Buchanan, Republican, who I think is the only Republican really telling the truth in this matter. And the truth is that this is a tremendous victory, is what he said, for Stupak and the pro-life leaders. For Democrats to have a strong pro-life contingent which fights inside the party and then come out with a victory, I think that this helps the party, because Democrats are known as a pro-choice party. And then another commentator said that Stupak's actions present a very high profile and new sound for pro-life Democrats. So I think this tremendous Democratic victory is good for the pro-life movement as a whole, and for you know, any group to target these pro-life Democrats and call them not pro-life is a big mistake, because it will cut away from our pro-life majority. And you never know, if you target these members, you could end up with a pro-choice Democrat instead. And I don't think that would be a better situation for the pro-life movement.
Why do you think a pro-life Democrat like Bart Stupak voted for health care reform with the president's proviso of an executive order, and other pro-life Democrats, some of them with 100% pro-life ratings, like Dan Boren from Oklahoma, voted against it?
Right. Well, I think that the pro-life caucus is divided on some things when it comes to health care reform, but the pro-life Democrats who wanted to vote for a bill because they wanted to make sure that people had health insurance coverage for pre-existing conditions. I mean, the pro-life Democrats who voted against it had other problems with the bill. But the ones who really worked up till the end wanted to get to a point where they could help get this health care reform bill passed.
How do you respond to those who are observing, and they're few, but there are those who are observing in the press, that the president's willingness to sign the executive order represents a real weakness on the part of the pro-choice Democratic caucus?
Yeah, you know, I think that, it shows the strength of the pro-life Democrats, and you know, it shows our ability when we are growing caucus. You know, in the last two election cycles, we picked up 10 pro-life Democrats, and you know, if we continue to build on it, it will be good for the pro-life movement as a whole. So I'd like to just reinforce that it's a mistake to go out and target these pro-life Democrats in this next election cycle, because it will hurt the pro-life movement.
What do you make of the baby killer remark that was heard while Congressman Stupak was at the podium?
Yeah. Well, I think emotions were high, and you know, probably shouldn't have been said, but I think that he did apologize to Congressman Stupak, and you know, it's just not a true statement. Bart is a man of courage, and he really stood up for his guns, and at the end of the day, he probably did the hardest thing, because now he's getting it from both sides. The pro-choice and the pro-life community are against him. So at the end of the day, he took the hardest vote, but he did the right thing.
And the most common reaction probably from the pro-life community initially has been, well, these six pro-life Democrats have proven that there's really no such thing as a truly pro-life Democrat. Your response with about 30 seconds.
No, I think that's absolutely false. And, you know, the Republican Party has defined what it means to be pro-life for a long time. And to call these brave men and women who stuck to their guns till the end not pro-life because somebody is interpreting something one way is a big mistake for the pro-life movement.
Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life of America. Based in Washington, D.C., you'll find a link to Democrats for Life at issuesetc.org. Kristen, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, when we come back, another perspective on this story. Marilyn Musgrave will join us, a former congresswoman from Colorado, director of the Susan B. Anthony List Votes Have Consequences Project. It's Tuesday afternoon, March the 23rd, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. All right, another perspective on the issue of the deal struck between pro-life Democrats and President Obama on abortion and health care reform. Joining us, Marilyn Musgrave, former congresswoman from Colorado and director of the Susan B. Anthony List Votes Have Consequences Project. Marilyn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Marjorie Dannenfelser, the president of Susan B. Anthony List, was quoted earlier saying, "Let me be clear, any representative, including Representative Stupak, who votes for this health care bill can no longer call themselves pro-life." Does your organization still stand by that statement?
Absolutely. We were devastated by Bart Stupak's change of heart when he went for the executive order that the most pro-abortion president has ever served offered to him. It was just absolutely devastating, and even fellow Democrat Gene Taylor from Mississippi said the executive order is nonsense, so it doesn't mean anything. Tomorrow night at our annual Campaign for Life, Bart Stupak was to be honored as a defender of life. Instead, those of us in the pro-life community that were looking for someone to stand with courage and on principle are just devastated by Bart Stupak's actions.
On MSNBC, Pat Buchanan said that it, quote, looks like a tremendous victory. He said, quote, "For Democrats to have a strong pro-life contingent which fights inside that party and then comes out with a victory, I think helps the party because Democrats are known as a pro-choice party." Your thoughts?
Well, when Bart Stupak was making comments on the floor of the House of Representatives, and he stood up and said that Democrats were defending life with this health care proposal, I was appalled. I thought, you know, there were pro-life Democrats that stood like Gene Taylor and Dan Lipinski from Illinois, but we were devastated again by what Bart Stupak did. I served from Colorado with Diana DeGette, who's called, quote-unquote, the greatest defender of women's rights. She is rabidly pro-abortion. And those people that are very pro-abortion were very pleased with all of this. And we at Susan B. Anthony List know that it will mean death for millions of children. A sad day in America.
I'm intrigued because whether it's the National Organization for Women or the Center for Reproductive Health or NARAL Pro-Choice America, all of them have come out highly critical of President Obama even contemplating an executive order that would purport to limit funding in health care reform for abortion. They're all just hopping mad about it. One of them even said that the president has betrayed women everywhere. It sounds like pro-choice forces are very unhappy about the president's promise of an executive order.
Well, I think they had to make some noise about it, and they are. But at the end of the day, we know that legislation trumps an executive order. We know that it can be undone. We know, first of all, that this is the most pro-abortion president that has ever served. We know who he's beholden to. You know, we know about how he talked about the Freedom of Choice Act when he was running for president, and we know who these folks will cater to. This executive order doesn't mean anything, and the unborn children were sold out when that vote was taken.
So are you saying that the president either won't sign the executive order or won't enforce it?
It's meaningless, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely meaningless. It was a gesture given to give the so-called pro-life Democrats cover. They will claim it really has an effect. It will not. And so, again, we don't have any of that group, the Stupak 12 or whatever it was, that can call themselves pro-life anymore.
Do you think they should be called pro-choice?
Well, I think what we should realize is when we needed them, when we were counting on them to stand on principle, to stand for the sanctity of human life, they were tapped for that moment in history, and they sold out the unborn children.
You and many others have said that the executive order is meaningless. President George W. Bush made an executive order limiting federal funding for embryonic stem cell research to a very few number of lines, and that executive order stood for 8 years until Barack Obama overturned it early in the first year of his presidency. It sounds like executive orders can have some force to them.
We know that the Hyde Amendment protected or prevented our tax dollars from going for abortion. Legislation is absolutely needed in this complexity of this health care reform. Legislation was needed to stop our tax dollars from going for abortion. It was amazing to me to see Bart Stupak at the microphone in the House of Representatives arguing against his own language that he said, then he turned against his own language that stopped our tax dollars from going for abortion. And remember also, it's very amazing to me that the President of the United States, Barack Obama, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, said there was not government funding of abortion in this health care reform. Well, isn't it interesting then that they needed an executive order to stop government funding of abortion?
Well, then I don't really get it, because if it's an admission that there was funding there, isn't that in itself at least an admission that there was funding for abortion in this health care, regardless of whether or not the executive order has power?
It is an admission that there was government funding of abortion in this legislation. And you will remember that Bart Stupak called both of them out when they stated that. He said that's not true. There is government funding of abortion in this. And what I am contemplating today, then, someone that could show that kind of courage, who knows, as members of Congress do, you know, how fragile an executive order is, you know, that he would go ahead then and agree to vote for the health care legislation. So it's a sad day in America, a time when the political mood is different than any other time that I've seen in my lifetime, when people are looking for character, they're looking for authenticity, and the majority of Americans self-identify as pro-life, and 70% of Americans say no to government funding of abortion, and this happened anyway. It's amazing. We will see what the consequences will be.
If Representative Stupak and the others who voted for health care reform, pro-life Democrats, should not be regarded as pro-life, should not be regarded as pro-choice, how should they be regarded?
Well, what I know is Susan B. Anthony List is we will not be endorsing any of them. We will not be bundling funding for them, because we are looking for true pro-life individuals that, when they serve in Congress, will not bow to the pressures in Washington, but will remain true to their pro-life principles.
Then do you think that, President Obama lost political capital by agreeing to sign this executive order?
I think Barack Obama, who again stated that there was no government funding of abortion in the bill, which we learned was not true, I think the President of the United States did what he could do to gain the votes of that group of so-called pro-life Democrats to get the bill passed. You know, this is, I served in Congress. I know the pressures that leadership can put on individuals. Fortunately, I was never asked to compromise my pro-life principles, but I'm familiar with those pressures. I'm familiar with what goes on in Washington, but this has all been taken to a new level. And what was amazing was, indeed, Bart Stupak and the pro-life Democrats had the power to stop this. They had the power to stop it, They had the power to stop government funding of abortion, but they were found wanting.
Finally, then, with only 30 seconds, Democratic analyst Bob Beckel stated on Fox News that it would be, quote-unquote, political suicide for President Obama not to abide by his executive order. Your thoughts, 30 seconds.
Well, we've seen Barack Obama again mislead the American public on whether abortion funding was there in the first place. I believe that Barack Obama is beholden to the pro-abortion community, whether it be NARAL or Planned Parenthood. And I believe in the end, he will show us that he will do what he believes in his heart and what they want him to do.
Folks, you can find out more about the Susan B. Anthony List under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Marilyn Musgrave is a former congresswoman from Colorado and director of the Susan B. Anthony List Votes Have Consequences Project. Marilyn, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest, as she is every week. We'll be talking about the Lord's Supper, teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 23rd. Then Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest to kick off Hour 2. We'll talk about the Bible, the Quran, and violence. And then Part 4 of our six-part series on Reformation theology today, the spirituality of ordinary life with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
40 Days for Life is people in front of abortion mills throughout America, praying for women going in as well as the abortion staff. William Harrison, an abortionist in Arkansas, is chiding pro-lifers. He calls their 40 days of prayer silly. He sarcastically thanked them for drawing attention to his abortion business. Obviously, he doesn't believe in the power of prayer. Please join me in praying God will demonstrate to William Harrison prayer is very real, but leave the details up to our Lord. Let's get a prayer chain going throughout the nation. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org and share this prayer request with others. God's more powerful than an abortionist. Let's pray God will demonstrate this fact to William Harrison's heart.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.